Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and a commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, January 3rd, 2014. Once again, thank you for joining us this afternoon. A great show this afternoon. We have lots of things to talk about, predictions to talk about, and if you have any predictions of your own, you can always give us a call, and we'll write it down, and we'll just see who's right at the end of next year. And so let's go ahead and get right into the gold and silver markets today. Another decent day for gold. We have gold up $13.60 today at $1,237. We have silver up 17 at $20.28. Platinum was up $12 at $1,417. And palladium down two at $731. Crude oil today was down once again, down to 1.22 at $94.22. Crude oil is really getting a beating on that. And the paper markets today, they were all waiting for Ben Bernanke. He's doing some sort of a question and answer session. And he did do a little bit of speaking earlier today. You had, and he's talking about the recovery is clearly incomplete. It's like here you have these guys who are making millions and millions of dollars, and it's something we talk about every day, and they get the big bucks. But we're certainly probably our listeners and Al and myself are probably more in tune with what's really going on in the economy than they are, or at least they're willing to say. We had the Dow up 28 points today at 16,469. The NASDAQ was down 11 at 41.31 with the S&P down 0.61, 81.31, basically unchanged for the day. And the 10-year yield is back up at 3% on the 10-year yield. And folks can give us a call at 800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. And if you'd like to send us an email question for the program, you can use questions at dgscoins.com. Questions at dgscoins.com. And we did get a question from a fellow that we're going to talk about here in a little bit. He said that on Friday of last week when we were talking about the Jubilee, and so we'll be discussing that and talking to Colin. And we will get to your questions if you email them to us. Usually the day, if we receive them early enough, the day that we receive them, and if we get it later for the people who listen to the program on different days and different hours, and send us a question, and we'll make sure that we answer them.
And we'll answer them more timely than we did for Colin. All right, because Colin, he sent his question in last year. That would be Friday. And what was it, Monday? Yeah, Monday, I think he sent that question. And here we are finally getting into it on Friday in a completely different year. That's kind of slow, Melody, don't you think?
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh.
But it's all your fault. But anyway, we'll be talking about that, Colin. I'm sure he's listening. And again, folks, if you have any questions, give us a call. Give us your predictions.
Okay. Shall we start with Colin's question?
Absolutely.
All right, let's do it. So Colin sent this. He said, I listened to you on Friday on Financial Survival, and I think you have it wrong about the Jubilee. Now, we were talking about the Jubilee, which is a special holiday that comes around every 50 years in the Old Testament. All right, and especially in the early part of the Old Testament. And every 50 years, they canceled all debt. All right? If you had borrowed the equivalent of, let's say, $5,000, and the Jubilee comes around, whatever remains on your debt canceled. You don't have to pay it. And that was true across the board, true for all debt. All debt was wiped out on the 50th year of the Jubilee. Now, that's what we were talking about, and comparing the Jubilee, why it could work in the Old Testament, but it can't work in modern monetary theory. And the reason is because in the era of the Jubilee in the Old Testament, your money was gold or silver. It was tangible. For all I know, they might have used cows as money. They could have used a bunch of things as money, but whatever they used, it was tangible. And that's important because we could have a Jubilee, and I might have borrowed 100 pieces of gold from someone. And Jubilee rolls around, and I've only paid off 20 ounces of the 100 that I owe. I get to write off the other 80 ounces of gold. And that means I don't have to pay it. And that means the creditor gets beat out of 80 ounces of gold. You understand? Under the Jubilee. Well, he's not going to be happy about that. You know, you can understand that the creditors will not be happy about a Jubilee. But it's not a terrible problem, except for the creditor, because however much gold I borrowed still exists. The economy hasn't been damaged if one creditor loses 80 ounces of gold. The 80 ounces of gold is still out there. Maybe it's in my pocket. Maybe I've spent it foolishly. But it's there in our economy. The economy itself hasn't been damaged by the loss of 80 ounces of gold. It's just one man who used to have it doesn't have it anymore. The creditor has been damaged, but that's all. Now, today we can't do that because we have a fiat monetary system that's debt-based. And if we eliminate the debt, if we said, let's have a Jubilee and we'll cancel all the debt, we would also cancel all of the debt-based assets that are running around here. If imagine that I borrowed $100,000 rather than 1,000 ounces of gold, I borrowed $100,000. And if we had a Jubilee, the Jubilee would cancel my debt, but it would also cancel, it would eliminate my creditor's $100,000. He's got a piece of paper with a signature on it. My signature says, I promise to repay $100,000, but because of the Jubilee, I don't have to repay. All right? Now, you could say that I'm getting over on this, but I'm not at all, really. Because when I default, I can't pay, I don't pay, that debt instrument disappears. It's not a situation where we just sit back and say, look, the creditor, he loses the $100,000 because he was fool enough to lend me the money in the first place. We don't just sit back and say the creditor loses the money because he was unfortunate. Nail had a difficult time and I couldn't pay the debt back. It's not just one man who loses the money. The economy loses the money because when the debt is canceled, the debt instruments cease to be valuable. When I don't pay my $100,000 debt, it means $100,000 is taken out of the economy. It's taken out of circulation. In the Old Testament, the gold would still be there. Even if my creditor didn't get his gold back, the gold was still in the economy. The economy would not be damaged. In today's economy, if we don't pay our debts back, we wipe out a part of the money supply. And if a large number of us or very wealthy individuals renege on our debt for whatever reason, default on our debt, it's not just a matter of the creditors get hurt. The entire economy is damaged because that money disappears because it is a debt instrument. Don't know if I'm making that as clear as I would hope to do, but that's as far as I'll go with it. Let me continue with the question. It says, "Hi, Alfred. I listened to you on Friday on financial survival, and I think you have it wrong about the Jubilee. I think the one and only answer to the debt problem is to declare it null and void because of fraud. It is fraud because it is mathematically impossible to repay." Now, I'm saying you can't get rid of the debt without also getting rid of the paper assets, the correlative paper assets. We've got, according to John Williams, $90 trillion in debt. Government says it's $17 trillion. John Williams says it's close to $90 trillion. If Williams is true, if we cancel that $90 trillion, we don't just cancel $90 trillion in debt. We cancel $90 trillion in assets, paper assets. And they're made to disappear, and we lose $90 trillion out of our economy disappears. Huh? That's not, we can't survive that. We could do it if it was gold. We could say, okay, the debtor doesn't owe any money to the creditor, but the money is still there. The money hasn't been disappeared. It is when we use a fiat currency. So he says the only way to answer the debt problem is to declare it null and void because of fraud. It is fraud because it's mathematically impossible to repay. That's true. It cannot be repaid because the interest is never created on the loan, and that is fraud. He's correct. That's true. And the fraud voids all. That's true. I get that, and I understand that it could be, in theory, we could go after all the debts if we could find an honest court, and we could probably challenge virtually all of the debts for fraud. I agree with that. But the problem is that virtually everyone in this country is storing their currency, their wealth. They're storing it in paper form. And if we go after the debt for fraud, we go after the wealth for fraud. That's what I'm trying to communicate on a regular basis. One man's debt is another man's asset. They are like the head and the tail on the coin. You can't have one without the other. And if you eliminate the one, you necessarily eliminate the other. Eliminate the debt, you necessarily eliminate the asset, the correlative asset. If we don't void out all thin air debt, the bankers will own almost everything. And he's right about that, although it's a complex situation. And we will be homeless slaves. They have licenses to counterfeit. I can counterfeit the money to repay the... Can I counterfeit the money to repay the loan? No. Why not? If we even attempt to repay an impossible debt, all we do is show our ignorance. So we void the fraudulent debt, and everyone keeps all the items that they have so-called debt on. Okay, now this is a different argument. What Colin is saying, void the debt, have the Jubilee, but we all get to keep whatever we purchased with that fraudulent paper currency. If I bought a house, I get to keep it. If I bought a flat-screen TV, I get to keep it. If I bought a car, I get to keep it. It's mine. Even though the debt's not paid, it's mine. That's his argument on this. All the items they have called the debt, and we start to use the debt-free currency or gold and silver, and then we have a robust economy like never before, or we let the bankers steal everything. Please consider what I've said. I'll tune in on Monday. I hope you tuned in on Friday because that's when we're trying to address this question more closely. I applaud Colin's understanding of the nature of money. That's the first thing. And I agree that much of the problem with our fiat dollars is that they're based on fraud. But as I've tried to explain, You know, it's not that simple when you have your assets are based on fraud, too. We can't eliminate the fraudulent fiat dollars in the debt without also eliminating the fraudulent fiat dollars in the paper assets. So we are caught in a very strange situation. We are caught in a time when we can't have a jubilee. We can't get rid of the debt. This is part of the reason why we have banks that are too big to fail. And the reason is because they've got so much debt that if we cancel their debt, it will do irreparable harm or potentially irreparable harm to the economy. The banks are so big that if we wipe out their debt, allow them to wipe it out with bankruptcy, they eliminate billions and perhaps trillions of dollars in currency. It's not just the debt isn't just made to disappear, and the asset isn't just made to disappear. The currency is made to disappear, and the economy can't withstand that strain. So it's one of the reasons why we have government intruding and telling people we've got banks that are too big to fail. But we have our debtors that are so deeply in debt that we can't allow them to fail. And it's ironic because at a time in the Old Testament, for example, if we were in a comparable period and we had gold and silver, if the bank that are allegedly too big to fail, if they became bankrupt, we'd just say, nobody cares. No big deal. Yeah, that corporation would be hurt. The people that work there would be hurt. But the economy would not be hurt. We would just get rid of the dummies. Bankruptcy would be a cleansing process. And we'd say, why, you idiots. You've gone so deep, here you are running one of the biggest banks in the country, and you've gone broke, you idiots, you morons. That's what we'd do if we had gold and silver. We would flush the morons out of the system and leave them penniless, which is where they should be. But because we have fiat currency, we can't say, oh, you idiots. We say, how can we help? We have to go in and reward the idiots that have taken their banks and the federal government, incidentally, to the point where they are technically bankrupt. And we've got to sit back and say, well, we don't dare let them go bankrupt. We don't dare admit they're bankrupt, because if we do, all of the paper debt instruments become worthless. The currency, the supply of currency, becomes dramatically diminished, and the economy falls into deflation and stagnation and ultimately economic collapse. Why? Because we're hooked on these paper dollars. And there's not going to be an easy way, and maybe no way at all, to wean the people, the American people, from these paper dollars. We're not going to get off of these things. You can't quit the addiction. I can't quit the addiction. We are all addicted to these paper dollars. And insofar as our addiction continues, we can't quit and surely can't quit cold turkey. All right? It's like taking a heroin addict and depriving him of his supply. If you and I can't get our daily fix of green pieces of paper, we are going to have a real serious breakdown. On the other hand, if we keep taking our daily fix of this addictive green, of these addictive green pieces of paper, the day is necessarily coming when somehow, one way or another, we're going to lose our supply, and we are going to be such avid addicts at that point in time that we will scream and commit violent acts and do whatever we think might work to get more a fix. Now, so what do you do? The majority of Americans aren't going to save themselves. They're not going to be able to prevent what I've described, although we can't say when it's going to happen. But you might be able to, if you have sense enough to see, look, this flows from using this fiat currency, and one of your protections is to get into a real money, which is gold and silver. And if you can do that, then you can at least insulate yourself from the trauma that is going to afflict most of your neighbors. I'm Alfred Adask here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. We will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from ABR. The ABR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Adusk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Melody's giggling about something. I'm not sure what it was, but
yes,
she's giggling about
that. Everyone knows that I have a new puppy, Ruby. And I just happened to glance down at her, and she's looking up at me, and the little whites of her eyes are just showing, and she just put a little smile on my face. She's my new guard dog, but right now she's a puppy, but...
She's your guard puppy right now.
She's my guard puppy.
And also, she does stand-up comedy.
Yeah, she did. So.
Yes. That's why smile on people's face.
Yes, that's what they're there for.
Yeah.
But, folks, all your gold and silver, give us a call at 800-375-4188. Visit our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. And if you want to give us a call for your prediction... 1-800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191 if you have a prediction for 2014. And last week, Al, we talked about there were several states, new laws for 2014. And in fact, there has been 40,000 laws that come into effect 2014. States, locals, communities, 40,000. Can you believe that, Al?
Yeah, I believe it, and it's just insane.
It's insane.
Like, we don't need 40,000 more laws, and we get
laws.
We elected them. We elect them to office, and they don't think they're doing the job unless they can find something to get a law passed about. And the truth of the matter is, this whole society would probably run infinitely better if we could just keep the government out of our way. These clowns think they have an obligation to pass more laws and more laws and more laws, and if somebody falls down and skins their knee on concrete, there will be some idiot in Congress or in some state legislature or local legislature, and they're going to say, we need to pass a law to make everybody polish the concrete in front of their house. so nobody ever gets a skin knee again because a skin knee has a terrible thing to waste or something. It's just nonsense. It's crazy, and it's kind of one-upmanship. And I don't think people realize how much harm it's doing. Maybe they do realize, and that's even worse. I don't know if they're just so stupid that they pass all these idiotic laws, or if they know what they're doing, and they're intentionally doing it just to put us in a box where we feel like it's, I don't know for sure whether I can wear white socks with tennis shoes anymore. Is there a regulation out? Is that one of the 40,000, Melody?
Maybe I could read them all.
No, nobody can. Nobody knows what the law is. You understand
yeah,
that?
Just pass it and then read it later.
Yeah, I know. That's right. Just pass it, and then you can see what's in it, like Nancy Pelosi told them with Obamacare. How'd that work out?
The whole reason I brought that up is we also talked about the illegal immigrants that were able to obtain driver authorization cards. And so you had, so this is a follow-up to that. Thousands of Nevada immigrants, they showed up at the DMV yesterday to get their driver authorization cards. And what that is, it's not like a real driver's license, but it allows them driving privileges. That allows driving privileges to people in the country illegally. And this is the 11th state to do this. So it's just not the first state. We're talking about Nevada, and this was in Las Vegas.
So do you understand the difference between a driver's license and a driver's authorization card?
One you're legal and one you're illegal.
That's right, but you need the driver's authorization card if you're going to steal someone else's card. So if you got a driver's license, that's for lawfully driving a car that you own or that you've borrowed from a friend with their permission. But the driver's authorization card is for people who are here illegally, and this authorizes them to drive stolen cars.
Well, I don't, you know, there's... You know.
Well, I'm joking.
Yes, you are joking.
I don't think that actually authorizes them
to
drive.
No, and I don't think you should say that, because a lot of these people are, you know, they are here illegally, but they are working, and if, you know, they're trying to make a better life for them and their family. So,
yeah, I know that, but
my point,
the extent of Americans that live, their life and family is being compromised.
Well, they give this example of this person. He works in a, I guess, one of the casinos. He's a dishwasher. My question is, there's no Americans in this country that want dishwashing jobs?
No.
But if he is here illegally, and now he's been here for 8 years driving illegally to get to his job, what, no fines? And if he's here illegally and now he can drive, how can he have a job? How can you give a job to someone in a restaurant with doing dishes illegally? How do you give that job to that person?
Because he's not taking the jobs that Americans don't want. That's a bunch of crap. We got along and we took all the jobs that were that came down the line. There's somebody to clean septic tanks. There's somebody to wash dishes. There's someone to give who knows what, pedicures or whatever. We got somebody in this country who every job that we've ever had, we've always had Americans to do our own work. What we haven't had are Americans to do jobs at pay scales that they can't afford to live on. The illegal aliens do not take the jobs Americans don't want. They take the wages Americans don't want. They take the wages that you couldn't possibly buy yourself a new home with. They take the wages. If you've got a home and you're trying to make mortgage payments, you can't take that job because we've got an illegal alien in there. He's taking it for nothing. Right? You can't take a job at illegal alien wages and pay off your mortgage. You're going to lose your house, your car, whatever, and then your wife will divorce you. This is not a small thing. Not taking the jobs, taking the wages. That's the problem. What else have we got, Melody? We've got a caller here, Joe from Arkansas. Shall we take his call now?
Absolutely.
All right, Joe, what you got for us?
Well, I've got a prediction for 2014, but before I get to that, I would like to comment on a subject that you were talking about yesterday, and that is you were talking about whether our move to pass NAFTA and GATT and go to global free trade was like a stupid mistake that these dumb congressmen made, or whether it was part of a long-term destructive agenda for this country. And I think there's no doubt that it was part of a long-term destructive agenda for this country. And I'd like to mention two reasons especially why I believe that. And that was, first one, in 1963, I believe it was the FBI agent Cleon Skousen that got the current goals of the Communist Party in America published in the Congressional Record, famous quote. And one of the points was to promote free trade with all nations. That was one of the goals of the Communist Party in 1963. And another point is that if you read Agenda 21 of the United Nations, which was started in 1992, I believe it was first published in 1992, the first point that Agenda 21 makes is that the developed nations should get rid of protectionism in their economy and go to free trade so that their wealth can be taken away from them and given to the third world countries. And it was very right after Agenda 21 came out making that point that the United States Congress and the President signed NAFTA and GATT, 1993 and 1994, right after Agenda 21 came out. So I think that NAFTA and GATT must have been passed in order to implement Agenda 21. And the other thing I want to say about this subject is that I've been finding from my study that the Republican Party, which is a great advocate of free trade now, originally the Republican Party was all in favor of high tariffs and protectionism.
Mm-hmm.
And for instance, in his book, Selling U.S. Out, J.R. Martin prints this quote from Republican Congressman William McKinley in 1888. Of course, he later became President William McKinley, Republican president. And McKinley said, free foreign trade gives our money, our manufacturers, and our markets to other nations to the injury of our labor, our tradespeople, and our farmers. Protection keeps money, markets, and manufacturers at home for the benefit of our people. And
that's exactly right.
Theodore Roosevelt in 1984 said, protection develops our industries as a cardinal policy of the Republican Party. The measure of protection should always at least equal the difference in the cost of production at home and abroad.
I agree with that.
So those are the two points. Those are the points that I wanted to throw into your discussion of that subject, which you had yesterday.
Well, appreciate it. And here's a point that people need to recognize. When we start talking about free trade, it's not long before we're going to knock down the borders and our tariff barriers, and we're just going to compete freely between two countries. It's not long before we are also allowing something like free immigration. And that's pretty much what we're looking at with illegal aliens right now. Our government has got plenty of money to invade Iraq and Afghanistan and fool around in Libya and wherever. But we don't have the money to protect our own border from an invasion by illegal aliens. Now, the problem with that is this. Anytime a nation sits down and it adopts a morality and a work ethic where it becomes prosperous, it will inevitably attract poor people from around the world who will flood to that prosperous nation to enjoy some part of the prosperity. And there will be more poor people coming in who have no idea of the work ethic, have no idea of the values that are required to make that nation prosperous in the first place. They will swarm in like a swarm of locusts dropping in on a cornfield or a wheat field. They're just going to get in there and eat whatever they can find. And as long as that nation remains prosperous, more and more poor people from other countries will come to that nation. And I don't blame them for coming. I don't blame them for wanting to come. But what I'm telling you is you can't just let the locusts come in and eat all the wheat. If you're going to do that, you're going to destroy every time you have a group of people who adopt that work ethic and sense of morality that's necessary to make a coherent society that's actually prosperous and safe and wholesome. Every time that happens, the poor will flood in from third world nations, and they will bury. They'll eventually outnumber, but it may not be necessary that they outnumber. Maybe if they're 10%, 20%, 30%, maybe that's enough to just tip that nation off its solid foundation. And when it happens, there won't be a prosperous nation on the face of the earth. Anytime Germany becomes prosperous, fine, the Muslims will move in. Somebody will move in. They want it. They want a chunk of the pie. United States prosper, people, illegals will flood in. If you're going to let them come in, they're going to consume what you have. And before you're done, you're going to be standing there like a farmer looking at what was once a very prosperous wheat field that's been turned into nothing but rubble and straw. So, you know, and on top of all of that, if you have a nation that comes up with a system of values and a system of government that produces liberty and prosperity and so on, if that nation has strong barriers and you can't get into that nation unless you were born there or you immigrate legally, then other nations are forced to emulate that prosperous nation. They're forced to sit back and say, look, these guys are doing it, and they're doing it with this system of values, and we need to emulate that system of values. We need to do the same thing, and then we can be as prosperous as they are, or perhaps as prosperous as they are. But as long as the barriers are down and everybody can flood in, all the poor can flood in, the illiterate, I'm not saying they're bad people. I don't blame them for trying to get here. That's not my point. But my point is they bring the disease of poverty with them. That's not true in all cases, but it's true in a lot. And ultimately, they'll vote. When enough of them are there, they'll vote to do what's good for them rather than what's good for the system of values that attracted them in the first place. And the net result is the nation that allowed them in will become to resemble the nation from which they fled. But if we can maintain those solid territories, maintain our national borders, then if one nation is poor, it needs to look around. Say, well, what are the rich people doing? How can we do it? And we saw something like this with Colonel Gaddafi in Libya. In his lifetime, Colonel Gaddafi took Libya from the poorest nation in Africa, brought them up to where they had a good standard of living, the wealthiest in Africa, if I understand correctly, and a good standard of living. They gave 25 grand to everybody who was got married. You got 25 grand for the government. You got a home that would be paid off 10% of your whatever you made. Want a home? Fine. Cost you 10% of your income for the next 20 years, then you own the home. 10%, all right, of your monthly income, weekly income, whatever it is. And it doesn't matter if you only made $500 a week, fine, you paid $50 on your home. If you made $5,000 a week, you paid $500 a week on your home. 10%. At the end of 20 years, you owned it free and clear. It is possible to take nations that are in abject poverty and impose or recommend a system of values that's enough to put these people on their feet. Gaddafi did that. And he got hung for it. And we're going to try to play some game where we're, oh, come on down here, come to the United States. Everybody come on down. It will destroy our economy. It will destroy our standard of living. It will destroy our culture. We're going to be reduced to the status of a third world nation if we don't get congressmen, senators, presidents, federal judges who are of a mindset to protect this nation rather than incorporate it into the new world order. We're going to take a commercial break here in a moment. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. And we'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from ABR. The ABR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Oh, we're going to talk a little bit about gold. I mentioned to you during the break that for the past couple of days, all we hear about Europe and how much better they're doing, how great Spain is doing. Their unemployment is being lowered, their interest rates are being lowered, and today a report came out where Spain's largest bank is in trouble. So it doesn't seem to me that Spain is doing all that good, and I can't imagine that they would be doing well if the bank's, Spain's largest bank, is in trouble. So again, just a lot of mixed messages to cover up the fact that the world is in trouble. Things are not better. The world is not in a recovery, and the U.S. is leading in the lack of recovery. And we've said it for a long time, when the U.S. goes, so does the rest of the world.
Yeah, that's a fact. And we can expect, based on that, we have become too big to fail.
Mm-hmm.
All right, from the perspective of the rest of the world. But you got to wonder, how long are they going to put up with it? You can't just walk around and say, look, we're too big to fail. If we go down, all the rest of you poor saps are going to go down too. Sooner or later, they're just going to say, we don't care. You're going down and it'll be good to be rid of you. I mean, you reach a point where you hit the gag reflex and you finally say, enough, enough, enough. I know we're going to have to pay a price. I get that. But we're going to pay the price just for the privilege of watching, you know, the people in positions of power and people in positions of unearned wealth to take it right in the beak. Right, the beezer. You go, bam, you know, shot in the nose.
Also, what's interesting about this bank is they made a lot of investments because, you know, we talked about this on the program about how a lot of these banks have reinvested their money in emerging markets like Brazil. And that bank in Spain made a big push into Brazil. And now they're concerned, you know, it's a big part of the liability in the near future because now you have Brazil with rising interest rates and a slowing growth. So, of course, things are not good.
No, they're just, and again, this goes back to this whole idea that you and I and everyone in this audience can somehow prosper through better living through fiat currency.
Mm-hmm.
It's never worked for long anywhere on the face of the earth. It's worked for 40 years on average, I guess, and 70 years in the extreme. But the pure fiat currency always blows up, causes a catastrophe for whatever nation is dumb enough to use it, and that catastrophe adversely affects seemingly innocent people who are sitting down and saying, all I did is I worked hard, and I paid my taxes, I did everything, I was obeyed all the law, and now all of a sudden I'm impoverished, I'm broken, it's wrong. And it's not wrong. The impoverished people, the people are going to pay on this and ultimately pay the most, or at least in many regards pay the most. There are people who have supposed that they could live in ignorance throughout their lives. There are people who suppose they didn't have to read a book, they didn't have to learn anything about economics, they didn't have to study politics. All they had to do was vote for somebody who looked like he was sent in from Hollywood Central Casting, and that's all you needed, and you can trust your politicians and your Federal Reserve representatives, and it's all nonsense. You're crazy. If you trust the government, you are crazy. That goes for anyone in the audience, anyone in this country. Do you trust the government? It's not only evidence of mental illness, it's evidence that you're a lousy American. The whole idea behind the Constitution and three branches of government and checks and balances and separation of powers and people are elected only for 2 years to Congress and 6 years to the Senate, 4 years to the White House. All of it, the Second Amendment, right to keep and bear arms, freedom of the press, it was all intended to protect us against government. Our Constitution is essentially an anti-government document. And virtually everyone has forgotten that if they ever knew it to begin with. They didn't use a Constitution because they thought a government was great. They used a Constitution because they understood government is a necessary evil. And they never trusted the government. Founding fathers, George Washington, James Madison, John Adams, none of them trust the government. Thomas Jefferson, none of them trusted the government. It was their distrust that caused them to write that Constitution. And I would argue, and I can argue it pretty well, push comes to shove, that if you would be a good American, you live in harmony with the spirit of the Constitution. And the spirit of that Constitution was to protect the people from the federal government. That's what it's there for. It's been completely forgotten, ignored. We've lost that mindset. We said, well, the government is here to help us. We can trust the government. You're crazy. You are crazy. If you think you can trust the government, you be dumb. What else we got? Here's one, Melody. Gold well, climbs to a two. Oh, go ahead.
Real quick. We talked about the 40,000 laws. Oh, you know, yeah. It's a new year. Well, the Obama administration, they wasted no time. They written, there's a list on the website, regulations.gov. 141 regulations that have been posted in the last 3 days alone. And of these regulations, 119 are rulemaking, meaning they establish a new rule. 23 are non-ruling, meaning the regulations does not establish a new rule. What's the point?
I don't know. Who obeys these rules? Who obeys these rules? Congress certainly doesn't.
Yeah.
Congress does not play by the rules. They don't intend to play by the law, meaning the Constitution, the people's law. They don't plan to intend to play by that. White House certainly doesn't. Federal courts seldom pay it more than lip service.
But the largest group of regulations that have to do with energy environmental issues, and many of them issued by the EPA, by the Environmental Protection Agency.
Mm-hmm.
So
right, they're here to protect us.
Yeah, so
they've done a great job.
That was interesting after the had a little bit of.
Well, they have a contest. I think they must have an award at the end of the year for the legislator who can somehow enact the most idiotic or largest number of dopey regulations, rules, or laws. There must be some sort of an award. I don't think it's publicized, but they get something like a Grammy or an Emmy or an Oscar or something like that. They say, and here's the congressman who posts the most dumb laws for the year of 2014. They'll probably have that next Christmas ceremony.
Well, let's see what Harvey has to say. He's calling in from Florida, in the warm state of the country.
How you doing, Florida? How you doing, Harvey?
I'm doing all right, Al. I just heard you going off a short while ago about the fiat currency. You're doing a great job, but it works for the filthy thinking rich, and it works for the government. They don't really care about the little peons. It's working for them, the warmongers, and the filthy thinking rich. That's what it's designed for, the fiat currency, not for you and I.
No, it's a way of stealing your labor. Stealing the hours that you put in working for something. I don't care what your job is. You're being paid in worthless pieces of paper, and they devalue those pieces of paper. They devalue your savings, and the net result is you think you're working for $20 an hour, and by the time you're done, you're lucky if you clear 15. All right? And you hang on to those pieces of paper long enough, and you might only have 10. It's a way of stealing labor.
Oh, absolutely. What do you think, Harvey? Yeah, but it works to keep the woods going. It's working for the politicians who get the payoffs from the banks. It's working for the banks. Wall Street is awash in every kind of thing they could buy with the money, their penthouses, their furs, their sports cars. So for the top 1%, it's the perfect currency. So I don't know how quick they'd be willing to give that up, because for those people, until there's a real revolution, it's really working fine for the powers that matter to themselves.
You know, there's a verse, and we quote it every so often. It's in the, not a verse, but a section of the Declaration of Independence. And it says, prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. When they say forms, they mean the law forms, they mean the form of government to which they're accustomed. People will put up with an endless amount of crapola before they finally stand up on their hind legs and say, hey, okay, USOBs, here we come. You finally pushed us. We finally got, you stepped on our last nerve, baby, and we're coming for you. But it's a rare situation. And my point is, it's their observation over 200 years ago is exactly consistent with the sort of apparent apathy that we see in the body politic today. Average American just isn't really going to stand up and participate in any sort of significant revolution. They'll watch TV, sit on the couch.
Until the majority is suffering enough. And it only seemed, was that 3 years already that they had that movement against the 1%. What was that movement called? I could barely remember the name of it, actually.
Occupy Wall Street.
Oh, that might be.
Right.
Was it the Occupy Wall Street?
It almost seemed like that they had reached the point there was enough poor schnooks out there to sit down in parks and sit down in front of the banks and basically do a strike. But they came in with their rubber bullets and the big ass and the cities that was pretty big movement, and that's why they have the power. They have the money, and they pay the people in those green currencies, those little paper pieces. They pay the cops to go slaughter their own people. They pay the cops to go in with the rubber bullets, and they buy the rubber bullets with it, and they buy the tear gas with it, and it happens around the world. When the people finally are strong enough and really want to do something, they're ready for them, man, and they got the America probably makes. It's probably one of the few things America makes. Maybe we make all those tear gas canister and the rubber bullets. Maybe we should open up a rubber bullet factory there, Al.
Might be a good idea. It might be a growth industry for us. You could invest in equities and take out a stock in a rubber bullet factory.
There's only one thing that really makes...
Go on, Melody. I'm sorry.
There's only one thing that really makes people move, and that is when they're hungry. And there's so much money floating around yet in this country that people are not hungry. They can still feed their children, although we have so many homeless, and we do have people and children that go to school hungry. The food that is wasted is just, it's shameful, absolutely shameful. But there's just too much money in this country yet, and until that changes, that will change.
Yeah.
And they will become hungry.
Yeah.
Frank Stephens has a show, Messiah's Branch, that has a homeless shelter, I think, in Wichita, and really people are really suffering. There's so many people suffering in this country. Mm-hmm. But till it hits
but not
the
enough.
Average schmuck.
Not
well, you say not enough, but it's also a question. We're not aware of how many people are suffering. We are led to believe that the unemployment rate is far less than is almost certainly the truth. We don't realize what's happening. And one of the things about the Occupy movement, why did it fail? A couple of reasons, I think. The people were angry. All right? They knew they were being exploited, but they didn't exactly know what they wanted. And certainly they didn't have any real leaders. The energy was there, all right? And if there had been a real leader there to inspire them and show them, here's what you want, here's why you want it, and this is what we should be doing, they might have accomplished something. But they were just kind of there, and they were all complaining, but they didn't exactly agree on what the problem was, and they didn't have an agenda where they said, this is what we want, and people got tired of listening to whine. Got tired of listening to them whine and cry, and so they were.
Well, there's no organization.
The energy is there. That was my point. There's no organization.
There's no organization.
Ideological organization.
There's no organization because everyone who tries always seems to have their own agenda, and until those personal agendas are eliminated, there will be no organization.
I agree. It's not an easy thing. And you can see why these revolutions, when they take place, they're pretty rare. They're hard to organize. They're hard to control. They are improbable, unlikely to succeed most of the time,
but
I think.
But people still need to pick up the phones.
I agree.
They can make a difference.
I agree.
It's not easy, and you cannot give up. Pick up the phones.
Nope.
Call. We have made changes, small ones. We might have delayed certain things. But they really do need to become active in the local communities. There's lots of things
that
folks can do.
Well, that's why we have to thank people like Frank Stephan for having you people on the air. And Al, maybe you're still a young man. Maybe you could be the leader of the next revolution.
No, I'm not a young man, Harvey. I'm old enough to collect Social Security. I don't take it, but I'm old enough to collect it, so I'm not anticipating the day when I'm going to be doing any, fulfilling any leadership roles. I'm going to sit here on the sidelines, and I will be a commentator, and somebody else is going to have to lead things.
All right, we appreciate your call,
Harvey.
Luckily, they
had the NSA listening to the Occupy movement, and they were able to stop that thing at a young age. Thank you very much for being there, guys.
All righty.
All right, Harvey. Thanks for listening.
Thank you,
Harvey. To hear from you again. All right, folks, we're about out of time for today and out of time for this week. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back on Monday. We hope you'll tune in at that time. And in the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Seems to be a single penny left for me.